Hello, my friend. This is Clyde. Time to settle the difference. Part one. I want to situate our conversation today in the post-resurrection era, from that first day when Jesus walked out of the grave up until now. The issue on the table is what to do with the Holy Spirit in our churches. There's no doubt about the division of opinions and theologies about the Holy Spirit, and it has got stronger in recent times. We're going to use scripture to direct our conversation. Don't get me wrong. There's generally an agreed stance of the person of the Holy Spirit. The great divide among us as Christians, however, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus met his disciples, minus Judas, several times after his resurrection. I'm going to make a first stop in Galilee in a meeting that was planned before the crucifixion between Jesus and his disciples. The meeting was convened and all parties were present. It started with a mixture of worship and doubt, and then Jesus spoke. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That is a brilliant place to start this particular meeting, given what was coming after that opening line. They were listening to the Master. He goes on to give them a major assignment, nothing like the short-term assignments they heard in the pre-crucifixion period. Therefore, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So what was the reason for bringing up the opening line about authority? Well, let's wait and see. Jump on over to Luke 24, and here Jesus was meeting the disciples again. This time, however, after eating a meal of fish and probably bread, Jesus began to speak and he got straight to the point. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Luke 24, verses 45 to 49. It seems that he spoke of what was the main item in the Matthew meeting. These disciples were going to be evangelists, preachers, and their message is one about Jesus and his resurrection and all that good stuff. But this time, he told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem to be clothed with power from on high. Again, he talked about power, but on this occasion, don't think that it was arbitrary. He was very deliberate. The final post-resurrection meeting took place outside on the Mount of Olives, just before his ascension. The last thing he told the disciples and others present was this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1 and verse 8. Here we go again. Jesus is talking to his disciples about their occupation after he has gone, and the power issue comes up again. The first time he talked about all power has been given to him. He did not share the power with the disciples then. In the second meeting, he talked about their assignment, and then he said that the promised gift from God the Father will arrive soon, but they should wait until it happens before they are clothed with power from on high. The final meeting was the clearest Jesus spoke about the power issue. He told the disciples that they would receive power for their assignment when the Holy Spirit, who was promised to come from heaven, had arrived. But listen to this. The power was not about status. The power was not about human might. The power will come on them when the Holy Spirit arrives, and it is only then that they would be fully furnished and equipped to carry out the mission of spreading the gospel both locally and outside of the country. Power will be given to them to effectively carry out the Matthew mission, the Luke mission, and the Acts mission, which are all one and the same thing. These guys were assigned to change the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, good so far. Then it happened. In Acts 2, the Holy Spirit arrived, and what a dramatic and grand entry was experienced by 120 people. They were waiting for him to come, and he did not disappoint. People started to speak in tongues, something that was not seen in Jesus' ministry prior to now. On this occasion, it was necessary because the crowd of people in Jerusalem was international in makeup. Then Peter preached and thousands of people were converted and the church was born that day. The church of Jesus Christ was born when the Holy Spirit arrived. Well, what about the tongues issue? What should we make of that? In Acts 10, Peter was summoned by a Gentile official to come to his house. While Peter was there teaching or preaching, something happened. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, Jewish, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Acts 10, verses 44 and 45. Finally, something happened outside the country, in Corinth to be exact. Paul, the newly minted apostle, was visiting and learned that there were some devout followers who practiced baptism according to John the Baptist. So Paul brought them up to speed, and then it happened. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Acts 19, verse 6. We will continue this discourse, but not before we make an observation. It seems that the Holy Spirit would fall on people in an unusual manner and they would start speaking in tongues. It happened in Acts 2, in Acts 10, and in Acts 19. But my question is whether there are other signs for the power of the Holy Spirit. I want us to end today's section of the discussion of the Holy Spirit and power with the understanding that the Holy Spirit is meant to empower people who are willing and actually going out to spread the gospel. What do we say on the matter? To be continued.